Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Is your bookie giving you jack? Then you haven't tried Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, you're welcome along. It is a special football show because John Giles is back with us on this Thursday evening. How are you keeping, John?
I'm okay, Nathan. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Hanging good. In there. So we've only had a couple of weeks since the end of the Euros, and we've only got a couple of weeks, just over 2 weeks, incredibly, till the start of the new Premier League season. But because of the Euros, it's been a long time since we've actually spoken about the club game, and obviously it's going to be a hectic summer on the transfer window. Probably hasn't fully kicked off yet, with the exception of Manchester United, but it does look as though, despite COVID and all of that, a lot of money is going to be spent. What Manchester United are doing, firstly, a new contract for 3 years for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but also getting in early with the signing of Jadon Sancho completed, and also this week the signing of Raphael Varane, a multiple Champions League winner, a World Cup winner, a 28-year-old who still looks as though he might be at the top of his game. It feels like it's already turning into a very good transfer window for United.
Yeah, well, they're not shy about spending a few bob anyway, Nathan. And I think given Solskjaer a new 3-year contract, I think the pressure's on him now, Nathan. You know, I think he's got to spend a fair bit of money on Sancho and Varane. So I think he'd be expected to win something, one of the major trophies this year, Nathan. And that depends now. Honestly, like we keep going back to Pogba with Manchester United. Like, it's still the problem, if you could call it a problem, Nathan. Like, he hasn't extended his contract. There's still talk about whether he will go or whether he will stay. And at this stage in the season, having bought the players that they bought, they need Pogba to get sorted out, or get him sorted out, Nathan, I would imagine.
A lot of what we've spoken about with United over the last couple of years is around the midfield and around Pogba and trying to get the best out of Pogba. But defensively, does Varane transform them at the back in the way, say, a Van Dijk did at Liverpool?
I'm not so sure, Nathan. I mean, I watched him in the Euros this year playing for France, and I didn't think he played well at all. You know, especially against Switzerland, when Switzerland beat him on the penalties and went to concede the 3 goals. I didn't think he played well. But, he is an experienced player and has proven himself over the years. So he should be a good signing. But I would have been a little bit concerned about him, having watched him playing for France in the Euros.
Sancho was a player they have been chasing for a long time, and it was a real source of frustration for United fans that they didn't get him last summer and didn't make the investment then. He looks like a player that they already have in some ways, and that they have Mason Greenwood, they have Marcus Rashford, they have Anthony Martial. Do you see him playing on the wing and Greenwood being ready at this stage to be a lead striker for United?
Well, it looks that way, Nathan. You know, we didn't see that much of him in the Euros. I mean, but what we did see looked very, very good. I'm talking about Sancho now. Certainly, he looks like he's going to be a real signing for them. I think Greenwood could play anywhere across the front line, Nathan. And he's a very talented lad, that he's got to go now from being a promising young player into a real player now. I mean, he's still quite young, but there was watching him last season, he was a very, very talented lad, but looked a little bit immature for what's needed. So he's got to grow up quickly during the summer here now and really get on, because he won't get in the team. Don't forget, he's got Lingard back into the team. Into the squad again, Nathan. And, you know, Daniel James, who's a player who hasn't been mentioned a lot, hasn't played much, I think is a very, very good player. So there should be a lot of good forward play from Manchester United, and a lot of competition there, Nathan. Definitely.
Yeah.
But Sancho looks the part. Now, we didn't see much of him, really, in the
But what
I saw of him, he looked very good. He can beat players. It looks like he wants to beat players, and that's something now you don't see so often. And the way Manchester United have the players, you know, Sancho can do it. Rashford can do it. I think Lingard can do it. Lingard had a really, really good season for West Ham, as we know. So, like, they've got a lot of... Daniel James can be a player. So they should be okay in the forward line. Just a midfield now. And again, I think... I know I'll keep going on about it, Nathan, but I think they have to sort out the Pogba situation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only got 1 year left on his contract, and there's still talk, well, is he going to Paris Saint-Germain? Is he going here? Is he going there? I mean, we've had 3 or 4 years of that. You know, he should be settled down, and Solskjaer needs for him to be settled into the club, and he's going to be a major part of the team.
The issues for United then in midfield, in the middle of midfield, with Pogba, like, they had to play two what would be called holding midfielders in the majority of games, so McTominay and Fred, a feeling that maybe they had to protect the defence. Maybe that changes with Varane's arrival, but there is a sense that it's a square peg, round hole situation with Pogba. They've never been able to find a position that gets the best out of him. Is there a player they can sign in midfield that would get the best out of Paul Pogba? Does a Declan Rice coming in suddenly mean you can play Pogba in a different position where they get the best out of him?
Well, I don't think it shouldn't need that, Nathan. You know, if you've got a great player, the great player, you don't have to find a position for him. You know, he finds the position and gets the job done. You see, what I think when you find with Pogba, he's so inconsistent that, you know, and I don't think his positional sense is great for a midfield player. I think he's brilliant on the ball, very, very talented lad, can distribute the ball. But for getting on the ball on a consistent level in the middle of the field, I don't think he's good at that. Mm. But I think it's a lot of attitude with Pogba. I mean, if you're in a situation, Nathan, as a player, where am I going, am I not going, do I want to stay, do I want to go, it's very hard to get the best out of them. And it seems to be with Pogba that, like, he's there, what, 4 or 5 years now. And there's still talk, well, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Every season there's a talk, but where is he going to go? I mean, first of all, you have to be committed to the job and committed to the club to get the best out of yourself.
Mm.
And now this is a situation now where he's got a year's left on the contract and he can go for free next season. Now, he hasn't come to... Well, they haven't agreed terms, from what I can see, that is still the situation. So it means if you're not committed to the club, you haven't got your mind on the job, Nathan. That's my feelings about Pogba at Manchester United.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he should have committed himself to a contract now for the next 2 or 3 years and say, this is it, this is what I've got to do. Now, the season's going to start in 2 weeks' time, and there's still talk about whether he's going to go, whether he's going to stay. Is he going to sign a new contract? If he does, I mean, to be honest, if I was Solskjaer, if he didn't sign a new contract now, I'd get rid of him.
Because Nathan,
if it comes to the Christmas time,
yeah,
he can actually sign for a club at Christmas, you know, and having to stay Old Trafford for another few months. You can't be committed to the job. And when you've got players now that are bringing in and players around who are terrific players, I mean, what are they going to think of somebody who's in that situation? That's how you build a team spirit. But it's very difficult to build a team spirit if one of your best players, or one of the players is regarded as one of your best players, is doesn't know whether he's going to stay at the club or not.
I know the, say, sideshow and off-the-pitch stuff around Pogba frustrates you. Does that really make it all the more important that this is sorted out? Like, Paul Pogba is one of the biggest stars in world football, that him being out of contract in a year is going to be a big story. It's going to be a big story all season long if he hasn't signed his contract, and it's going to probably dominate every single press conference, everything Manchester United do, that, considering the investment they've made, is probably a headache and a sideshow that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could really do without.
Oh, definitely. When you're building a team, Nathan, and team spirit, that's the last thing you need, is one of your major players and nobody knows what he's going to do in the future. I mean, I think the club have to make a decision.
Mm.
In other words, what I would think is, say to him, look, this is the deal. This is what I'm offering you. Now, if you don't like that, then you can go. Because all the players, the fellow players, the colleagues, are going to be talking about it. Is he going to stay? It's be in the papers again. That's the last thing you need as a manager, to have conversations and situations where it, one of the major players... Is he coming or is he going? You have to get them settled in. All the team has to be settled in. They all have to play for each other. So that has to be sorted out, Nathan. Definitely.
United finished 12 points behind City last year, albeit they were never really, it felt, in the title race properly in that last 3 months. When you look at Sancho and Varane arriving with Solskjaer having that new 3-year contract, do you expect them to be closer this season? Do you expect them to properly challenge for the title?
I think they have to, Nathan. They have to. I mean, if the manager's given a new contract, 3-year contract, and you spent a lot of money, probably nearly 100 million on these two players, and they look like very, very good buys for the club, then you have to be challenging. You have to be. And that's why I go back to Pogba again. For a team that wants to be in that position, I mean, if you look at Manchester City winning last year, there was no talk about players coming or going. They were all playing with each other. Same with Liverpool. You know, you have to have that togetherness, if that's the right word, for that. But I definitely think he has the squad now, Solskjaer, to compete much better than he did last year.
Yeah. Manchester City are probably going to be the most interesting club to watch over the next few weeks. Still an enormous amount of speculation about Harry Kane, about Jack Grealish, and also to finance them, that maybe the likes of Bernardo Silva may end up leaving the club. Like, it's frightening to think what Manchester City could be like, having cruised to the title last season with the addition of Harry Kane and Jack Grealish. If it was one or the other, if it was Grealish or Kane, who would you prioritise?
Oh, Kane. I'd go for Kane. You'd have to go. They have to get a goal scorer, Nathan.
Yeah.
Aguero's gone now. He's been one of the great goal scorers in the Premier League, as we know. So you have to get a recognised goal scorer. And Kane at his best, could be the best of them all. So definitely. I mean, Grealish is a good player, and he could do a very, very good job for them. But Kane has to be the man. And because with all the players that they have, a lot of midfield players, very, very good players, as we know, all round, they have to get a recognised finisher. I mean, they did very well last year, scoring the goals they did without that. But it's very hard to maintain that now, especially with the other teams picking up. You know, Manchester United picking up. And you've got Liverpool coming back into it, Nathan. I know we can talk about that in a minute, but Liverpool will be big, big, big challengers next year. And you've got Chelsea coming into it. So Manchester City have to keep ahead of these clubs. And the only way they'll do that is to get Harry Kane or somebody like Harry Kane, and probably Grealish as well.
You couldn't say they got away with it last season, but for a club of their stature and wealth, like, Ilkay Gundogan was their top scorer in the Premier League and he had 13 goals. Aguero rarely played. Gabriel Jesus, again, doesn't seem to have the full trust of Pep Guardiola. If it's not Kane, there haven't been a huge amount of other players. So do you think you break the bank, and maybe Manchester City can't break the bank, but do you think it may come to a stage where Kane has to try and force his way out of Tottenham?
Well, he's doing his best to do that at the moment. Nathan, he said he doesn't want to play for them anymore. I wouldn't be very, very sympathetic towards Spurs in any way, you know, with Daniel Levy and Joe Lewis, the owner. But I do feel a little tingle of sad, not sadness, but I think they've been badly treated in this particular way.
In what way?
Well, Harry Kane, he's got 2 years left on his contract. And I think he signed a contract maybe 2 years ago on very, very, very good terms, which he insists on, quite rightly, because he deserves it. But it's very difficult, mid-contract, having committed yourself to the club, to say, well, I want to go now.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's fair. You know, if the club have obviously made plans around him, not very good plans, and he has done his stuff for them. But I think when you've signed a contract, then you're obliged to see that contract out. That might be an old-fashioned way of looking at it, Nathan. But I don't think you can just say, all of a sudden, no, I don't want to play for you anymore. I want to go. And, you know, they gave him the 5-year contract for that particular reason, that they tied him up, wants them to stay at the club. So, I mean, he's obviously insisted that he'll go. I think they'll have to let him go. But they won't let him go for nothing, that's for sure.
Mm. Like, we're talking about United being contenders. If City sign Kane, I don't know, nailed on for the title?
Not necessarily, Nathan. Obviously, they need a Kane. You know, I mean, if they don't get somebody like Kane,
yeah,
I could put them two or three down the list.
Right. Nathan. So it's that important.
Oh, very important. I mean, you've got Manchester United, and don't forget, you've got Liverpool coming back into the race.
Mm.
Liverpool haven't gone away, as they say. Liverpool will be back. They've just signed a centre-half.
Yeah.
And he looks like a very, very good player from Leipzig. What's Ibrahim
Konaté, yeah.
His name?
Ibrahim Konaté, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it's the lad I signed. He looks a very, very good player. So, Liverpool will be back into it. Definitely. Chelsea will come into it if they can get a striker. You know, there's talk about Haaland, Lukaku coming back there. If Manchester City don't get Harry, then they have to go for Haaland if they can get him. He's another top-notcher. But they need somebody. But if Chelsea get one or other of those, Nathan, they're going to take a bit of beating as well. I'd say all the top clubs would be scared stiff of them coming into next season.
Yeah. Just on Liverpool, so as you said, they've signed Konaté, and even this evening, Virgil van Dijk and Joe Gomez are back in the squad for the first time for a pre-season game. Though the way Klopp is talking, he may try and ease them back in when the new Premier League starts. But at the other end, like, we're heading into a fifth straight season of a front three of Salah, Firmino and Mane. Do they need to freshen that up? Do they need to add somebody in to put a bit of pressure on those three players?
Well, they got the lad from Spurs,
from Jota. You think that's enough, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he's a terrific player. I think he'll play a lot more matches next season than that. But this is Liverpool coming back. Liverpool had a bad season. They finished up okay, Nathan. But they haven't gone away. I mean, if I were Man City and all the other clubs up around there, I'd be Manchester United, Liverpool are going to be a force, Nathan, in my opinion, really, next season.
What about midfield?
I think they're pursuing a policy now, Nathan, that they're not going to give, say, 30-year-olds long contracts. I think they've lost Wijnaldum on that, who's a good player. And I think from what I can read in the paper, Henderson has got a year of his contract left, only a year left on his contract. So they're obviously not pushing for 2 or 3 years there either. Now, that's a policy they want to pursue. It's a financial policy. I wouldn't agree with it necessarily for the player's point of view, because somebody at 32, 33 can be invaluable to a club. And Henderson has been that man. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think Liverpool will be back as one of the favourites.
Gini Wijnaldum, as you say, has left out of contract and has ended up going to Paris Saint-Germain. Like, he played every single Premier League game for Liverpool last season and has been consistently in the side ever since he came from Newcastle. Is Thiago from last season enough of a replacement for Wijnaldum, or does he do a different role, and do they need somebody in that midfield that brings the energy that Wijnaldum brought?
Well, I'm only talking from the outside. I wouldn't have let him go at all for the sake of signing for 2 or 3 years. I mean, he's only 30. But it seems to be a policy now, and some clubs do that, particularly Americans in America, that if somebody is a certain age, 30 particularly, then you're not going to give them a long-term future. But I don't think that works out all the time. Well, it very seldom works out all the time. If these lads are fit enough, they can only get better. I mean, if you put that rule on Messi, for example, he'd have been gone 4 years ago.
Yeah. Right?
You know, it depends on the individual. I mean, if some lads get to 30... And they look 35, you know. But looking at Wijnaldum, for example, last year, he looked as fit as ever has done in the past. And you're letting him go for nothing. I don't agree with that policy. And I think Henderson might be in the same position next year. But I think Liverpool have a big squad. To get back to the question you asked about the what's the name of the lad coming in? You say
Thiago obviously came in last summer, and they haven't added a midfielder since Wijnaldum went.
Yeah, well, I don't think this lad can take Henderson's place or Wijnaldum's place.
Right. So,
but Liverpool will be there, Nathan. Liverpool will be there.
By the sounds of it, you think that's as much as the players, as much as maybe the personality of the players and the team and the manager?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll be back. They finished okay. They did well to get into the Champions League, as we know. But this was a really, really bad season with injuries and everything else for Liverpool last year. But I think to be back again as they were the previous season to last season, and I think they're a real threat for the Premiership.
Chelsea are going to be a really interesting team to watch. They're obviously the European champions now, and all the confidence that will come with that. A lot of question marks around, again, their striker. So yes. Olivier Giroud is gone. Timo Werner is there. It seems as though Tammy Abraham is going to leave as well. Like Werner last season, we all felt a bit sorry for him. A bit of pity for a striker is never what you want for your striker with the amount of chances he missed. The fact he gets himself into positions, John, we might say, is a good thing. Has he enough quality to get them in the hunt for a title, or do they need a Kane or Haaland to get to that next level?
Well, unless there's a dramatic change in Werner, Nathan, from last season. It does happen where, you know, I think it was his first season, getting back into it, gets a rest in the summer and can come back and do what we know he can do. That's the big gamble now for Chelsea. But I think if Haaland became available, I wouldn't be surprised if Abramovich went for him. To be on the safe side, Nathan. You're on a wing and a prayer, I think, with Werner. Next season, because is he going to be the nervous guy that we saw this season, or is it the guy we saw before? We don't know. With Haaland, I think Haaland is up there with the best in the world, and I wouldn't be surprised if Abramovich did go for him, having had Tuchel do what he did last season. Look, he did remarkably well in the short spell he was there, as we know, winning the Champions League. I think Abramovich would get the money out for him. So that's the big thing with Chelsea next year. You know, they have Havertz, Werner, Politi. They've got the good players, but they haven't proven themselves to be the goal scorers that's needed in this particular situation.
Havertz might be a particularly interesting one to watch because he had a bit of an injury plague season for large parts of it, but really seemed to kick on when he got a bit of fitness towards the end of the season, particularly in those big European games.
Well, if they do, Nathan, they'll be real. I mean, the Chelsea will frighten the life out of these boys that we regard as the top boys. Really will. I mean, we talk about Manchester, Liverpool, Manchester City as probably the favourites. But if he gets a goal scorer, or any of these goal scorers come good, this fella will be there.
Anything else that stood out for you in the transfer window so far?
Not really. There hasn't been really that much in it, Nathan. You know, like there's been. I mean, we're talking about Grealish and Kane and that. There hasn't been that much big stuff.
Yeah.
I think Leicester signed a couple of players for what it's worth, and I'm only mentioning them because their buying of players in recent years has been really, really good. And they brought two youngish lads, I think.
Daka and Samore.
Yeah.
So again, that real Leicester way of investing in young players from the continental leagues, almost preparing themselves for selling some of their better players, so they've ready-made replacements.
Well, that's what they've done, and they've done it really well, Nathan. You know, so I don't think they will challenge for the Premiership, but they'd look at them having a good season. You know,
haven't
done what they did last year. West Ham, just to bring them into it, Nathan. I don't think it's good there. There's an awful lot of talk about the owner selling the club.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, you're not going to be buying players in. And they've lost Lingard as well, back to Manchester United. So I think it's going to be a difficult season for David Moyes.
Leeds have got rid of Alioski, the left-back. Junior Firpo's come in from Barcelona. And Jack Harrison has gone on a permanent deal from Manchester City. So you feel with Leeds, it's not almost about the players. It's just about the manager. As long as they keep him, they have got. They can really achieve anything.
Yeah, I think he bought one player, Nathan. Not for an awful lot of money. I don't think they're spending an awful lot of money. But they finished well last season, as we know. But I think to give him a bit of a boost, I think they could have bought a couple of players, Nathan, this year. Because, you know, last year was their first year back. And players, we saw with Sheffield United, it does happen that they play above themselves for that particular season. And then, you know, the novelty wears off. It does happen. And that'll be my only fear for Leeds with Bielsa. I think he can still be doing his stuff, but he might not get them as much out of the players as he did last season, especially with it getting maybe two or three new players in.
Yeah, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. Before we let you go, we have a question in. How would you spend the last few weeks of the off-season when you were playing? Would you be on the golf course or would you be in the gym?
No, I'd be having a rest, Nathan. I'd play more golf in it. You know, because we didn't have... Like, when I was playing for Leeds and that later on, the close season got shorter and shorter and shorter. when I first started at Manchester United, it was for 3 months.
Right.
I used to see players coming back to be a stone and a stone and a half overweight. It wasn't that unusual. And then obviously, the European League start. And when I was at Leeds, for example, the most you'd get would be 6 weeks.
Okay. So.
And you needed that, Nathan. You really needed that to really get back into it again.
So, bit of a holiday, bit of golf, off you go.
Yeah, total relaxation.
Yeah. Now they go on golf holidays, and if you're on social media, John, they have their own personal trainers with them while they're on their golf holiday. So if they come back in better shape than they went, than they left.
Well, to be honest, Nathan, if you're doing it properly, in my day, as you know, that didn't happen. But if you looked after yourself, you didn't need a personal trainer, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, that 6 weeks that you had off, you needed to relax. Okay, a bit of golf. And I used to start training a week before I was due back.
Okay.
It's really awful. You can feel terrible the first week you're back. You know what I mean? You feel awful. But I used to do a week for what it's worth, coming back. Not overdo it, just do it to get back in. But you didn't have that much time to really get out of shape.
All right.
Not unless you were out boozing every night of the week. I mean, there were some lads who did a fair share of that, and obviously you can get out of shape in 4 or 5 weeks. But generally speaking, if you're playing a bit of golf and had the odd night out, just relax and get away from the game, it was enough. And you needed it. You definitely needed it. But nowadays, I don't think any player that I came across, I certainly never needed a personal trainer.
Yeah. Bit of golf and a few nights out, John. It sounds good
to
me.
Exactly.
It sounds good to me. Great stuff, John. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, Nathan. Thanks again.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Is your bookie giving you jack? Then you haven't tried Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts
and download the OTB Sports app.